Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Cindy DeFerdinand, and welcome to our second show. Folks, I'll tell you, we had a great response from our first show, and we want to thank everybody. And we'll later on in the show, we'll tell you how to get a hold of us on our Facebook and Twitters and respective websites. So again, we want to thank everybody for listening and their support and their encouragement. And, you know, Cindy, I'm just going to tell you, I've had other types of programs and things, and never have I seen such an overwhelming positive response from so many different types of people about the show and about life coaching. And it's just been a great journey and a overwhelming interest. Did you happen to get any calls or interests on your side last week?
Yes, I thought I had a really good response. And I think there's just a momentum building up of interest in, you know, what is this coaching field all about? People are really interested.
Yeah, and they should be, because it just is such a positive thing. I mean, we've all had school teachers and role models and mentors, and this is just something that is unique and it has its own space in joining with another person. So I'm just really really grateful to be a part of the show and continue our journey. So that in mind, Cindy, I mean, what kind of a technique or fundamental core part of coaching would you like to kick off today before we take calls?
Well, I'd also like to mention our guest last week was just unbelievably enthusiastic about the changes that her coaching experience over the short course of a year had made in her life. I mean, it really, really had made a difference for her. So I think that the general theme of our show is just to allow people to just sort of tiptoe into what is this coaching field and where do I have a role in it? Is it something I'd be interested in doing professionally, or what would I benefit from? What could a coach do for me personally in my life? Maybe I would benefit from working with a life coach. So I think it's just, you know, my goal is to educate the average person, the average listener out there about what the coaching profession is and what the coaching profession isn't. So I think that's the key. And I think, you know, we are going to keep emphasizing that as we move forward. One of the things I thought about, Bruce, that maybe we should, you know, bring to our listeners is a little bit about maybe today we could discuss what coaching isn't. To give a little, put a little umbrella about, you know, what are some of the other, you know, what is the difference between coaching and friendship, or the difference between therapy and mentoring and consulting? Maybe we can talk a little bit to that, so that people have an idea that often people will work with a therapist or have a mentor in their life that they go to, but also need a coach. And this distinction being that, you know, coaches are not therapists. That's not the role we play. We're not licensed. It's not legal to do therapy. We refer to therapists. I love when my clients are working with a therapist in the past, concurrently. But coaches are more future focused in terms of what do you want in your life? Where are you now and where do you want to go? And helping people implement those plans to move from A to Z. That's more of a coaching role.
Right. I agree. And, you know, sometimes the rookie coach will want to solve the person's problem, right? That there were a set of circumstances or life events or even psychological issues, right, that has led this person to be in a position that they are seeking out the help of somebody, right?
Right.
Whether that be a therapist or a coach. And I think it's really important for the coach. And this is even difficult for me, right? Because ladies and gentlemen, I mean, I'm coming into this.
You have a counseling, do counseling. Yeah. Right,
so I have to be guilty of what Cindy's preaching. I mean, I really have to double time and remember that I'm not wearing a psychotherapy or counseling hat, and right. I'm wearing a coaching hat. So I will lead the band in saying that I possibly could, if I let my mind go free, be the worst offender on just that. And I think, Cindy, when I went to coaching school, what struck me was that so many of the participants, such as myself, they sounded to me that they wanted to be therapists. You know, I'm going to help you overcome your abuse. I'm going to help you. Da, da, right. da, da, da. You know what I mean?
But I think a lot of new coaches and students, they themselves don't understand the coaching model. So they come in with some preconceived,
preconceived
notion that we all carry through life is that I'm going to fix you and I'm going to solve your problems. And coaching, you know, I guess we could use the phrase self-check. When you're coaching, especially if you play a consultant in another professional role, you're the person that everybody has come to for advice. You love giving advice. You have to really self-check because the coaching skill set, which you have to be trained to learn. We're educating people about it, but if you really want to do it professionally, you need to be educated and learn the skill set. The coaching model is the belief that the person sitting in front of you takes the show and they have all the resources and answers inside of them. You are just going to help them uncover and discover their aha moments and their answers and solutions by asking open-ended probing questions. So it is a skill set that needs to be learned, and it is quite different from being a consultant. Like I am a clinical nutritionist and have a master's in nutrition, and therefore I have more of an expertise and knowledge in the field of nutrition. People come to me for that knowledge. I'm doing consulting at that level, but in coaching, it takes on a completely different posture, and that's the distinction. You know, we're going to get at a little bit today is if you're advising, you're telling, you're giving solutions. You're sort of, you know, the person is putting you on a mentor or a little bit of a higher pedestal and looking to you for answers, and expect that from you. And sometimes clients will come to a coach asking for answers. And it's important to throw questions back to them and keep, allowing them that time to sort of do the work and dig a little deeper to find their own answers.
Let me ask you this. I had actually had a new coaching client several hours ago, and I filled out they filled out the coaching paperwork, and it was really interesting. The demographic.
Like an agreement. Yeah.
The coaching agreement, the sessions. Yeah, all the good stuff. But I let this person, they wanted to kind of tell their story. So I just went ahead and I let them tell their story. And I didn't kind of cut to, okay, what are your goals? Where do you see yourself? The checklist and stuff like that. So what's your take on that? You think that is okay or that was a little bit...
I think different coaching schools may take a little bit of a different approach. They may think it's more important to jump right into future focused solution. But I really believe that you need to get to know your client. Your client needs to get to know you. You want to build trust and allowing your client to open up and to empty out and to mirror to them that you're really there with them. You're hearing them. You're validating what they're saying. And what we use a technique in coaching, which we call mirroring back what somebody says to us, what we heard them say, and repeating that back to them. And that can be very validating, but it can also serve another purpose, Bruce, in that sometimes when we're talking, we get going with our story, we don't even hear what we're saying.
Right.
So it's not only the coach mirrors back so they can track what the client is saying, that the important points, but it's surprising how many times a client will go, yeah, yeah, they didn't even hear themselves say it the first time.
Right.
So it's very validating for them, and it can offer them some clarity as well.
Yeah, I think it's always better to understand rather than be understood. You know, you hear
yes.
that a lot. And that's what that reflective type of listening does. And I know that's kind of one of the core things that you teach when you're teaching. And that is such a good skill because it allows your client to feel connected to you, and that you're really listening, or at least listening,
listening.
And understanding. In understanding what they're coming with. Now, this is altogether different than empathy or sympathy, and I think we got to watch out for that, right?
Well, I think there's a place for empathy, you know, in coaching. You know, we try to stay away from sympathy or you know, sharing our story. It's always about the client. We're always with the client. No criticism, no judgment. And I liked what you said is that, you know, when you are allowing your client to tell his story, and you are mirroring back to them that you're listening, you're really actively listening, and you're understanding what they're saying. That doesn't come with judgment. It just comes with the fact that you're with them. You know, like when you nod your head, if you're sitting in front of somebody, maybe you're, you know, most of coaching is done over the phone nowadays, but you say you have a client sitting in front of you and you're nodding your head as they're talking, that's giving them the cue, I'm with you. It's not, you know, I understand what you're saying. It's not saying, I agree with you, or I don't agree with you, because there's no place for that in coaching, that judgment. It's just, I'm with you, I hear you. And it does validate people. And a lot of times when you give back to them what you heard, they're quite surprised by what you're saying, that it was actually them that said it.
Right. Right.
Really, right. Always amazes my clients. Is sometimes I'll take notes on some, because I do business startup coaching, and sometimes they'll just explain what they want to do in such wonderful terms that I'll write it down. A session or two later, appropriate time comes up, and I say it back to them, and they think I came up with it, and they go, "Oh my God, that's perfect! That you just came up with." And I'll go, "Well, that's not me. You said it. I just wrote it down."
Right.
And they're very surprised at what they say sometimes, because I really believe when we speak, mm-hmm. we're not really listening to what we're saying in an active way. And a coach can mirror back what we're thinking, what we're feeling, what we're sensing, in a whole different way. Using our words, it's like hearing it for the first time sometimes.
It is. And another illustration, I had a 17-year-old client doing some things, and I got out this kind of dry erase board with different colors, right, and had different boxes and kind of diagrammed out some of the different things he was saying. And at the end of that process, he's like, "Wow, I had all this inside of me, and now I'm able to kind of see it for what it is." And he hauled out his smartphone and took a picture. You know?
That's great.
And man, I just felt so, you know,
happy for him. I would
expect. And I was just almost crying, you know, like, wow, it was almost like a catharsis. And
right.
Folks, this was not Freudian therapy. This was not Gestalt therapy. This was not, you know, it was just straight up diagramming what he had been saying in cluster form, and then letting him kind of talk about what he wanted, what his thoughts were. So, you know,
you were feeding it back to him. You were doing
right.
what we you were playing the coach. You were feeding back to him in a visual form what he was saying,
right.
And that for some reason lit him up, because that worked for him.
And for a lot of men, he's a young man, but I think a lot of guys, you know, are just more visual, you know what I mean? And they can relate to that, and it's not threatening. You would think it'd be more threatening, right? To see something in black and white in front of your face on a dry erase board, but it isn't. But to talk to somebody at another level, could be more subjective and scary. So, I think that's good.
And that worked for him. You know, I often recommend to young coaches, new professionals, to keep a whiteboard in their room so that they may, you know, shoot up some diagrams, or when they get to the part where the client is emptied out and knows where they want to go and is starting to create that vision for themselves and set goals, it's really nice to put them up in writing, you know, and visually before them. That some people respond extremely well to that.
A whiteboard in their room so that they may, you know, shoot up some diagrams.
Or when they get caller, turn your radio down. Because there's a delay. Turn it down. Yeah. There you go. All right.
That's great.
There you
Thank
go.
You.
Well, looks like we have a caller here on the
Fabulous.
LA Talk Radio show. And I'll go ahead and introduce our caller. And with us today, we have a life coach, Jenny Hubby. And Jenny does some work. I was glad I was able to talk about that adolescent client. Jenny works a lot with adolescents. And and does coaching with this population, and I think she has a subpopulation of folks she works with that I work with from time to time, called the failure to launch demographic. And I'll go ahead and let her explain a little bit about what that FTL group looks like. And Jenny, and please give us an overview, particularly about the values piece that you kind of get into fairly quickly with these clients. I'm absolutely intrigued by that, and I want to hear how you do that. So without further ado,
welcome, Jenny.
Yes, Jenny.
Thank you. Thank you, Cindy. Thank you, Bruce. I'm glad to be on today. And I was just listening to you guys, and I love it when we carry the message about coaching and how we can help people that really have those answers within them and help them clarify what those are and be intentional about them. And that's what I love to do with teens and, you know, what we call today emerging adults. And that's defined, as I understand, about 18 to 29 years old. And that's a very challenging time. And, you know, we hear the term failure to launch, and I like to call it pre-launch. So
right.
They just haven't launched
right.
yet.
Right.
And they're not sure what does launch mean? And so as a mother of three daughters that are in their 20s, I've been through it from a personal perspective. And then as an administrator in the past in the mental health field and in education, I've seen it as well. And that is that I just see this community or society where we focus on outcomes. And what I really like to do is focus on the inside of the client.
Oh, that's fabulous.
It's just so exciting. And it's wonderful to see teenagers and young adults light up when they talk about themselves and they talk about, I like to talk about the why. Why are you doing what you're doing? And why do you want to do this? Why do you want to go to this college? What's your purpose? And so I take them through a process, and it's within the coaching model of asking those open-ended questions that are really tailored to helping them clarify their vision, helping them clarify their values in their life, their personal values, and then helping them clarify their mission, their personal mission. So I just did that with a 17-year-old, and she walked away with her mission statement, her vision statement, her value statement, and a company name and a tagline. And all she needs
That's
is
fabulous.
A logo, and she's ready to start a business.
At 17, I love it. So what
At
you're saying...
17.
Yeah, what you're saying is this coaching model is not just for adults, that younger people... maybe early adulthood are really, really feeling like it's making sense for them. And I love what you said about instead of failure to launch, pre-launch, it's like they're just a little blossom that hasn't quite bloomed yet. Doesn't mean they won't. It's just they need a little support along the way.
Right, right. And so many times what we do as coaches with teens and adults and Bruce, with you as a therapist, we represent the adult world, And much of what we might represent might be similar to what their parents represent, but we're not their parents. So it reinforces some of the reality of life.
How it does. How do you respond globally to the kid who says, Jenny, I don't know why I'm doing this. I know that I'm supposed to go to school. My parents went to school. This is supposedly what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to graduate. I'm supposed to quote unquote like something. I'm supposed to move on to a college or JUCO or university or whatever. And I'm supposed to quote unquote grow up. What do you do with folks that just kind of have that vacuum? What types of things do you do to spark their awareness of who they are in that moment?
Good question, Bruce. They, you know, with young people, with teens and young adults, they really have to be, especially to be coached, they have to be willing. There has to be some motivation within them and a willingness to be coached. And you know, a school, a private school I used to work for, the founder's philosophy, which I love, is that there's no kid that's not motivated. Every kid has motivation. Our job as educators at that time is to find that motivation and connect with that. And so as a coach, what I want to do is find what's in there. What is their why? What is their purpose? Help them clarify that. And then, of course, with young people, if they're supported by their parents, if they're still dependent upon their parents, there is a collaboration, that a responsibility of collaboration that we have as coaches. So it is important that the parents are engaged and really on board with allowing their child to discover their purpose. So there has to be that support from the parents as well. But when they're able to express who they are and what their passion is and find their strengths, most kids will light up. Now, those that don't, there's something else going on that needs to be addressed that is not appropriate for a coach to address, and then they're not appropriate for coaching at that time.
Right.
And that's when I would refer. Yeah.
Refer out. How do you handle parents who may not be letting go of the vision they have for the child instead of letting them, you know, sort of get into self-discovery and find their own purpose and path? Do you often find there's a disconnect there? How do you work with the parents who don't want to allow that process for their child, more want it to be theirs? You know what I mean? Their vision. Mm,
yes, I know what you mean. That's a tough one. You know, I tell you, that hasn't been an issue for me, because most of the parents that are sponsoring their child for coaching with me, they're very engaged in that child discovering who they are. They know that they're not sure what that outcome is going to be. So that hasn't been a real issue for me. I know it's out there. I just haven't seen it. I'd love to hear Bruce comment on that, because I bet, Bruce, you've seen quite a bit of that.
Oh yeah, I mean, I have. I've seen quite I'm just sitting here laughing, like, yeah. But you know, well, you know, and I see, sadly, the casualty of that in terms of these kids that will then self-medicate with marijuana, with booze, with other forms of acting in or acting out. You know what I mean? Because they have, and I hate to use the word teen angst, right? I hate that, but you know what I mean? Without purpose and without that energy moving forward, you're gonna have something fill that void, like it or not. You know what I mean? Like it or not, something's gonna happen. And that's where we get into the issue of teens and their peers. And how many times have I heard this I have a good kid. He just makes bad choices. And I won't get too deep into that. But anyway, Jenny, I like what you're saying, because you're always safe when you're working with a teenager, when you start the discussion with what are the things you like to do? Where is your passion? Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of kids will enter in on, like, I want to have my own fashion design. I get that a lot. Mm-hmm. Or I want to be a music artist. Not to say that any of those people could be the next fashion designer or music artist, but you kind of have to kind of get in where you fit in. Just kidding. But you have to kind of, you have to kind of start that discussion and see where they go. So I do like how you kind of base it on current, not their aptitudes or their abilities, but what their interests and desires are. I think that's great.
And Cindy, go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking as I was listening to both of you is, you know, Bruce, what you're saying is that, you know, they're a good kid, but they're making bad choices. And, you know, maybe there's just not enough of, you know, like the coaching model is about you have the answers, you have the resources, trusting them and allowing them to go where they want to go and allowing that to come freely from them. Maybe there's not a lot of that in or enough of that in teenagers and young adults' life.
Oh, I agree. There's not a lot of language like that out there, Cindy. And you know, back to your question about parents and kind of maybe the conflict of the goals, I did see that a lot in education. I don't see it so much in coaching, but as an admissions director, I would have that conversation with parents a lot. And I would share my story about being lost with my purpose for so many years. And self-medicating, like Bruce is talking about, I'm a live example of having, you know, taking that windy path to find my purpose. And that's why I'm so passionate about young people finding their purpose early.
I love that you said that. I absolutely love that. I was getting goosebumps when you said aww, that. You know, instead of the windy, you know, arduous path, you know, to have this model available to young people so that they're free to utilize it. And it sounds like the coaching clients that you draw, and of course the parents are there to support it, potentially pay for it, obviously, and are really involved in the success of their young person becoming who they want to be and doing it earlier than later.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Instead of finding out at 40 or 50, you know, maybe by 25 or 30, they're on the path.
Oh, and that's what I told my daughter when she was 16. I said, don't wait 20 years to do what you love to do, your passion. And she took me literally. She lives in LA and works in the music business. So there you go.
Yeah, I had a coaching client today, and she's just remarkable. And I've told her it's amazing the work that you want to do on yourself before you get moving forward into what's your purpose and passion, and taking a look at it at 30 instead of at 55 or 60. You know, to me, I'm always impressed when younger people get it and want to change it and want to move forward. It's very inspiring.
I am too.
Mm-hmm. Very
it is.
Inspiring.
And this doesn't have to be with a young person. It doesn't have to be their last stop. I mean, this coaching could just be pointing into going to college, could be just pointed to getting a job. It could be pointed to just the next stone of their stepping stone. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm in my 50s. You asked me 10 years ago if I was going to be a life coach or an executive coach, I would have laughed at you. Right?
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. We don't always know where we're going to go.
I'd be slapping my knees and I'd be pointing my finger toward California. And I'd say, oh, that's what those wacky people in California do. And I'd be slapping my leg. I mean, I'll be honest with you, right? I'm a native Texan and a former Justice Department official. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? So,
and look at you now.
I know, right? I know. It's amazing. Like you say, the opportunities that life brings and just, you know, getting your clients to, be willing to take advantage and execute on those opportunities. So I think that's really exciting.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, I think that's really, really good. Now, do you do any group work, or are you just exclusively one-on-one, or how does that play out for you, Jenny?
Well, that's a good question. Right now, I'm doing one-on-one intensives. I call them purpose intensives, where I'll spend several hours with a client, and we'll go through the whole interview process, the whole exchange, and boil down to their personal brand, their personal purpose, whatever you want to call it, having that mission, vision, values. And then I print that out on certificate paper, frame it, and they have that for their wall as a reminder of who they are. So right now I'm doing that on a one-on-one basis. It's not to say it couldn't be done in a group, and that may be something coming. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, I'd like to, can I just get a little clarification? Because I want our audience, you know, Jenny, our purpose for Bruce and I to bring the Concierge Coaches Show to LA Talk Radio is to really allow people to just take a peek behind the curtain at the coaching profession and have a better understanding of what it is and what it isn't, and maybe how it might fit into their life. And what I heard you say is you do intensive one-on-ones, but they can last several hours. The typical coaching model is generally an hour session, sometimes maybe a half hour. But a lot of coaching does end up being intensive or maybe long-term or take up a day or a weekend. Can you talk to us a little bit about why you set your practice up in that way?
Yes, definitely. So most of my clients are meeting with me on an hourly basis, three times a month, you know, the standard coaching package or program.
Right.
So what happens is we get into discussion, and this could be a business, it could be a coaching, a professional that entrepreneur, or it could be a teen or emerging adult. And we get into discussion and find that they don't have a navigation system for their life. They don't have a purpose. And so that's where we talk about purpose, and we talk about what is your vision of the world that you want it to be? What are your values? What's your mission? What's your purpose? If they don't know, I will offer this intensive. And what I found from experience, if we work through this exercise, this discipline, this method, if you will, if we work through this on a session by session basis, it really takes a very long time, because when we're in that mode of really that introspective, that insight, thinking about the world and our worldview and our vision, we're in a whole different headspace than we are usually throughout our day of task, from task to task to task.
Right.
We're in a very imaginative mode. So I have found that my clients get stuck and we don't make progress, and then they get discouraged. And so I have found that to just hammer that out and get that done, now let's move forward.
Right.
With your
instead of stopping and starting with each session, when you just get to the,
exactly.
to the juicy part, it's the end of the hour, and then you've got to roll it to the next week. So you like to keep that inspirational, intensive process into one period of time.
Exactly.
How long does it normally take, Jenny?
Normally about 3 hours.
Okay, cool.
To hammer that out, and it's amazing. By the end of it, we're all tired, but we're also inspired.
That's really an amazing process. I like that you offer that that in a different way than just the general hour session model. That you find that you're doing what is more effective for your client.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, really cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like that too. I like that flexibility, but also, you know, you have the time to kind of push through and get to that level that you need to with the clients. So I think that's really, really interesting. And do you have do you only take so many clients? Do you have a capped caseload, or How does that work with the flow of your with your practice?
I do have a cap, and you know how we'll have again, I'm not sure how you guys do your scheduling, but I typically will do 3 sessions for a client in a month. And so I have that rolling week in there. And of course, it varies when a client starts or I have some gaps. So I generally can rotate clients in and out depending on the client's goals. Some are long-term clients because their goals are long-term. Some are shorter term because their goals are short term. And also, like with teens, let's say high achieving high school students, they want me to work with them on their purpose because that gives them language for their essays and their applications for college. And then they want to move on to that college counselor that specializes in the strategy of getting into, of reaching their goals and following that purpose. So that might be a short-term client that I then refer to a college counselor. So, you know, to answer that, I love new clients.
Oh, well, yeah.
Work it out.
Well, sure. We all, now, do you see your clients in an office setting? Do you go to their homes? Do they come to your home? How does that typically mm-hmm. work out?
That varies as well. I have found with the purpose intensives, it's best to meet in a place that the client feels comfortable with. I will meet with a client in their home if that's comfortable, but typically I will meet with them in my office or I have some satellite offices around Dallas because Dallas is so big. So I have agreements with therapists around the Dallas area that I can meet in their offices and do these intensives. And so most the intensives obviously are in person. And then many of my coaching sessions will be by phone if that's best for the client.
Okay. Do you, Jenny, we'd love to have you give your contact information when we're done here today, but do you exclusively work with older teens and young adults, or is there any other population that you might be of service to as well?
Well, I actually call my new purpose repurpose, so I work with repurpose also. So adults that are looking, you know, like what now? What I'm
right.
in transition. My kids are grown. Now what do I do? So yes, I love
okay.
working with adults that are in transition
okay.
and entrepreneurs as well.
Right, because you know some of our listeners, you know, may be older. So that's nice to know that you're available as well. And I, you know, I like to think about coaching. One of the things I always say is, you know, when we have cycles in life and we have a lot of changes. Like Bruce was talking about 10 years ago, mm-hmm. if somebody had told him he was going to be a coach, a life coach, an executive coach, he wouldn't have believed it. But you know, we have times in our life, and the way to kind of take the temperature on the situation is, do you feel stuck? Do you feel like, you know, I call it being in the mirror. Mm-hmm. You're just like, you're up to your ankles in quicksand and you're just kind of not moving forward. And that doesn't just happen once in life. That may happen several times over the course of your life. And that's a beautiful time to seek out a coach to get some movement forward and try to uncover and discover what it is you want to do at this point.
Yes.
So you are yes. doing some of that work for people as well.
Yes, definitely. With entrepreneurs and especially therapists in the mental health field, because I have found that is an area of need where therapists are excellent at their skill, at their profession. However, they feel inept when it comes to marketing themselves. And many times it's just that they don't have the language. They haven't developed the language to market themselves. And once they have that, they have power.
Right. They don't have the business skill set.
Yes.
Or, right. yeah, or conversely, I recently redid some stuff for my coaching website, right? And I'm so close to the forest, I couldn't see the trees, and I had to have Cindy help me. Proofread so much, right? I mean, just to be honest
right.
with you, yeah.
Just a little editing, yeah. a little little changes.
Yeah. But it makes all the difference because, it's to your point, Jenny, you know what I mean? Now we're talking about me and I'm talking about myself and my appraisal of myself, and that Johari window gets kind of wiggity, you know what I mean? Like, that is a great point. So, well, that's good. I mean, I like the fact that, you're very nimble. You can see adolescents and adults and repurposing and purposing, and, you can, move around the DFW Metroplex. You got office access. You can see people in various places. And I think that's great. I know I have two offices myself, you know what I mean, for that very reason. We're like Cindy is in SoCal and LA and Orange County. It's believe it or not, folks, it's kind of like that here in Texas. It's a pretty well, Cindy knows she was here. Yeah. She was here recently and she gets to live that dream a little bit, when she flies into town. But, well, that's great, Jenny. I really appreciate you coming in, and weighing in on the show today and telling us about, a little bit about what you do. Is there anything else that you do that is, you'd like to just share with our listeners, that we haven't talked about so far?
Well, I just love to thank you guys, and I love your show. I just keep talking, keep carrying the message about coaching, and I just think it's an excellent vehicle for people that, I feel like if we, so many times if we are just intentional about our goals, sometimes it doesn't take any more than that in a day, is just being intentional about our goals, because then we are awake and alive to hear the messages that come to us about our goals and what that path might be for us. And so, you know, keep carrying that message that coaching is a wonderful investment in our own personal success, and I'm glad to help any way that I can. And I know you mentioned early on, Bruce, that my company is J-Hub Consulting, because that's my nickname, J-Hub, Jenny Hubby. So you guys can find me, anybody can find me at jhubconsulting.com. So hopefully that's easy to remember. And please let me know if there's anything I can do, Cindy and Bruce, to help you guys.
Thank you so much. And I'm thinking about the listeners out there who are parents of older teenagers. I mean, I have five children, and so I have that interest in that, relating to the changes that go through. I often hold back from bursting parents' bubbles that some of the most intensive parenting years are from 18 to 23, 25. And to have a coach available, and I coach people in their 20s as well. And it's just, it's so nice for them to have a sounding board outside their immediate family circle. And so I'm thinking about the parents out there who may have a young adult and are listening to the show and saying, wow, I didn't even know this resource was available to me, that I could send my child and encourage them to work through their purpose with a life coach. And maybe they're hearing it for the first time. So I just want to really applaud you for what you're doing out there for young people, and also for taking the time out of your busy schedule to share it with us on the show today. I really appreciate it,
Jen. Thank you. Thank you, Cindy. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. And also, we will have, your website and stuff on, the podcast listing, and I'll give you a link to that. And that'll be, your information and website, will be available to all our listeners along with the podcast. So, Jenny, that'll be up there as well. And I'll send you a link, later
on.
Feel
free to share that, Jenny, with, you know, your clients and your circle, so that, you know, they have a chance, you know, cause oftentimes we're out there working on what we love to do and helping people, and our own intimate circle doesn't even understand what we do. So
exactly.
It's really
so
interesting,
true.
Right? You know, get your friends and family to listen to the radio show you were on, and some light bulbs might go on, right?
That's true. Very, very true. Thank you.
Thank you so
it, you
much for joining us today. It was wonderful. Have a great rest of the day.
All right. You too. Thanks,
Thank
guys.
You.
All right,
take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, Cindy, that's just another great guest
great
that we had on the show. I know, right? I just
loving what she's doing out there.
I'm telling you.
I love how she rephrased it and made it such a positive thing instead of failure to launch, because I always think about the movie, which I thought was great. But the fact that she says pre-launch, I love that she said that, you know, and you brought up that often and we're launching over and over again in life. I typically call it jumping off a cliff, which maybe instills a little bit more apprehension in that phrase. But
right.
I say, you know, we all got to jump off a cliff, you know. And she, you know, she's taught, you know, so it's that repetitive launching that we do in life as we shift and change directions. She's getting young people started on the journey in such a positive way. And they'll always know they have that resource to turn back to when they get stuck again at a twist and turn. So I love the work she's doing. I'm really, really happy to hear that somebody's out there focusing on that audience, right. Young adults. It's wonderful.
And I think one of the meta, you know, META coaching moments with this is that if you listened to what she was saying, she was talking about the basic coaching skills that I know that you teach, right? That you've taught to people, right?
Right. She's
about
she's,
your mission, your vision, your statement, your tagline, your elevator speech. But she wasn't using those words. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
she
had her own spin on her methodology.
Right.
But it was really truly based on the coaching model, not in any
right.
other model. Although she had education background, she pointed to that. Right. And, you know, obviously we all come to, you know, coaches have diverse backgrounds and they go off into different specialties to work with different populations. And she had that educational background, but
yes.
the skill set and what she was doing with her clients was based on definitely on a coaching model. I picked that up as well.
Yeah, definitely. And it just shows you the power of coaching techniques. You know what I mean? Just the techniques by themselves and just applying those, you can drop those into a 17-year-old. You can drop those in to a
25-year-old.
I can use those with my executives. I can use those with mid-career executives. I can use those for executives that are nearing retirement and looking
That's
for
right.
what's next in the transition. You can use that with people who are departing an organization, perhaps they've either downsized or regrettably lost their job for another reason. And anyway, long story short is coaching is what it is, and it has legs, and how the coach delivers those techniques is just amazing to me, how I see this work again and again and again in different venues. And it just you know, it really excites me, and it just excites me to hear, you know, the breadth and depth that she has. You know what I mean? You could tell that she's really
she's serious
really,
about
helping
young people, and it's amazing that the resource is there, and the coaching is such a great skill set that everybody can benefit.
Indeed, indeed. So we got about 3 minutes left here on the Concierge Coaches Show. So what else? What other little general wisdom, general technique?
I think that when we started the show, we were talking about what coaching isn't. We touched on, you know, it's not consulting, it's not therapy. And our guest speaker today did point to working with therapists and also knowing when her client may have a little bit of deeper issues that she would refer out. So we do work concurrently with therapists, and we do refer out when necessary. And I think that sort of pointed to what we were sharing with our guests earlier in the show about what coaching is not. Right.
Yeah, and it's definitely okay to refer out. It's not a sign of weakness. It's not a sign of anything. You're not admitting defeat or showing inadequacy. I mean, I refer out routinely.
I do too.
And I'm just, you know, so I think it's important for the coach to know their scope of practice.
That's
to
right.
know what they can do and what they can't do.
Right. Well, legally, and just what you're trained to do and what you're not trained to do. Right.
Exactly. That scope of practice. And when you deviate from that, or not you, but when someone deviates from that scope of practice, you know, trouble can come of that. And people can become dissatisfied, or and just some negativity can flow from that. So this is a good hygiene thing to practice, and it's there for a reason, for everybody's
The client,
yeah,
right.
Safety and well-being.
Always support the client. Always,
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Enjoyed the show today, Bruce.
All right. Yes, indeed.
Thank you for everybody who's listening in. And I can be reached on my website at www.wisdomfoods.com, serving the Southern California market and nationally over phone. And Bruce, you want to give them some of your contact information?
Yes, it can be reached at conciergecoach.net, and also on my Facebook page at Cameron Concierge Coaching. And don't forget to visit our web, Concierge Coaches Show, Facebook, and it's at Concierge Coaches Show with one S there. So, well, folks, that'll be it for us for this week for the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand. We hope everybody has a great week, and come back next week, same time, same channel 2, and hear what we have for you here on the Concierge Coaches Show. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.